The little boy giggled as he ran his small, soft hands down the old man's furrowed forehead, over his graying eyebrows, eyelids, and eyelashes, and then settled the blindfold just above his nose and ears before running off into the sunlit cemetery to hide. "Count to 20, Grandpa," the boy called out. "One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi," said the old man loudly, in no hurry, patient as a dusty cabinet clock in a dining room corner. The sound of laughter receded. Lyle Hovde continued slowly counting. Pressed against his brow and eyelids, Lyle's red-faded cotton handkerchief smelled of his worn Wrangler blue jeans, diesel, gasoline, sawdust, the golden butterscotch candy he favored, and the metallic tang of loose pocket change. Before six, he heard the boy's breathing, his little footsteps growing fainter, the occasional crunch of a pine cone or fallen white pine branch under a sneaker, the squeak of long vernal grass in thick shadow, and giggling. By 12, there was just the sound of a crow caw-caw-cawing in the crown of a pine. At 17, he felt his heartbeat slowing. The April sunlight warming his face felt good, his old barn jacket a comfort, like a tucked-in bed blanket. There was the desire to simply nod off, fall into the soft black sea of sleep. His counting slowed nevertheless, and at 20, he pushed the blindfold up, opened his eyes, and the world was still there, in a thousand different shades of fragile budding green and gently faded browns and yellows. There was no traffic on Cemetery Road, not a single car, no tractors tilling. In the sky, two sandhill cranes descended toward a far-off pond. His back was against his son Peter's headstone. He stood slowly, heard his knees pop in protest. He steadied himself against the granite slab. "Ready or not," he hollered, "here I come." It was a small cemetery, no more than a couple of hundred headstones. His shadow tipped away from his boots, long in the fading light. This grandson of his, Isaac, the only grandchild he knew, this five-year-old boy, what energy he enjoyed. All day long, while Lyle's wife Peg and their daughter Shiloh shopped in Minneapolis, Lyle had been left to entertain Isaac, which was no hardship, no hardship at all. But my Lord, did the boy run and run and run. It was only late afternoon, and already Lyle felt as tired as if he had been laboring all day long, splitting wood, perhaps, or throwing field rocks onto a stone boat. "When I find you," Lyle called out, "when I find you." He walked slowly among the headstones, walked by the graves of old women and men he had known so many years ago, when, about Lyle's own age now, they populated Redford, filling the pews of St. Olaf's Lutheran Church, or standing in the narrow, crowded aisles of Hanson's hardware store, pointing fingers at paint chips, studying cans of insecticide, or slope-shouldering bags of feed. Or, there again, pushing wobbly-wheeled carts through the IGA, the husband navigating while the wife held her long scroll of a list. So much of their life meted out in delicate cursive. Old teachers, farmers, postmen, loggers, milkmen, mechanics, short-order cooks, secretaries, dentists, doctors, firemen, butchers, bank tellers, barkeepers, taxidermists. He almost walked right by Isaac, but the boy chortled, and Lyle spotted him in the shadow of old man Eggdahl's gravestone.